This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com.
Hello, this is Lindsay Matz from William Mitchell College of Law, and I'm joined in conversation today with the co-founder and executive chair of Lynda.com, Lynda Weinman. Thanks for joining us today, Lynda.
Thanks for inviting me.
All right, well, we're going to get started off with the first question. What are your thoughts on the future of online and distance learning? I know that's kind of broad, but what are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's inevitable that online and distance learning is going to mature and going to be adopted. I think just the efficiency of it, the scalability of it, the fact that so many budgets are being cut and that, you know, we have to look to alternatives. New schools aren't really being built at the moment. There are, you know, so many overcrowded schools, people who can't get into schools. So I think it's inevitable that it's going to be adopted everywhere at some point in time and that its future has a lot of potential.
So what are you seeing as the trends for training in the professional web and interaction designers?
Well, we see a lot of emphasis on the content management systems. We have a huge amount of demand for things like Drupal and WordPress. And when I was first starting out teaching web design, a lot of people had to know HTML and they had to really understand how to author every little bit of it. And now there are so many turnkey ways to publish, including Facebook, including Twitter. We have a lot of, you know, courses in our library about how to leverage those kinds of tools for outreach. And I think included in all of that is video. You know, there's a huge amount of publishing going on YouTube and even putting things like video into PowerPoint or video into Keynote. So all of these skills and mediums are kind of converging, but there are a lot of little software packages and techniques and tools that need to be learned in order to participate.
Mm-hmm. So it's not just teaching people how to copy and paste anymore or how to type.
Right. I think, you know, the need for coding is not as critical as it once was, but you also see a lot of people getting into coding for completely different reasons, you know, building their own mobile apps or, you know, just learning how to even use programming. You can use programming in building digital video, or you can use it in motion graphics to, you know, create movement, to create animation. There's so many different uses for programming that are really becoming very mainstream. And again, more people are being exposed to wanting to learn how to code than ever.
So what's your strategy for creating effective online content for your students? Because you have a wide variety. You have students, you have faculty, you have staff. It's just you have a huge breadth of people to do training for.
Well, true. Well, we care the most about quality overall, so we're always looking for quality instructors and quality delivery. We realize that people come with all different learning skills, so, you know, beginners, intermediates, advanced students, and adults. And so I think one of the really key factors in doing effective education is to have a respectful manner that's very approachable, that really explains things clearly, the how, the what, the why, the when, you know, giving context. And so we're really careful with our pedagogy that we're not going over people's heads or being holier than thou. One of the beautiful things about online education is that you can do so anonymously, and you can kind of rewatch a video as many times as you want, and you can actually go to the exact specific skill that you need. When you're sitting in a classroom, everybody's having the same learning experience. When you're online, it's a lot more personal, and so somebody can kind of dive in right at the level where they are, and that's really effective as well.
All right, so the role has been shifting for the last few years from a sage on the stage mentality to more of a mentor or facilitator role for instructors. Do you have any opinions on this progression and why it's effective?
One of the huge shifts is that we have completely different kinds of students. You know, we have the millennials, we have students who are exposed to so much media and they're really used to a much more compelling mode of learning than what, you know, just listening to a professor sit in front of the class. We're also looking at an age where you can have personalized learning. If you already, you know how to solve a certain level of math equations, why should you have to listen to the same lecture that everybody who's at a beginning level needs to sit at? So I think that one of the big benefits is that there's a lot of information that's beyond the classroom, outside of the classroom. So is it really the teacher's role to necessarily be the expert and be transmitting all that information? Or should that teacher be encouraging the student to develop lifelong learning skills and learn how to research and get information on an as-needed basis, which is really the way the whole world is moving. And so what it does is it opens up the teacher's role from having to be the stage on the stage and be the expert to actually being able to spend quality time with students, encouraging more social skills, social interaction, encouraging critical thinking, encouraging discussions, collaborations, inviting students to become publishers and creators, not just consumers of content. So it's really a very exciting opportunity, but it's a big paradigm shift for teachers and not comfortable for everyone to have a less structured and clear direction of what their role is. But I think, you know, we're seeing this trend called flipped classroom, where the students are actually studying outside of class and then coming into class and presenting what they learn to each other, having conversations, learning how to be good communicators, how to be good collaborators, and I think it's a very exciting direction for education.
So how do you see ways we can help the faculty shift? Because I think that's part of the challenge. The students are ready for it, mm-hmm. but how do you think we can help the faculty shift to this new paradigm?
I do think some of them are going kicking and screaming, and I think others are really embracing it. What's so interesting, the faculty that I've spoken to who have adopted this new paradigm find it's actually really liberating to get to learn along with the students, to have a more open idea about what will be taught and let it be directed by the group instead of directed by them, that it's actually a little bit liberating, and to also realize that you don't have to know everything and, you know, even be able to share your own learning process as something that you can do with the students to even gain their credibility or just prove to them that everybody has to learn all of the time. So I think, you know, there's probably, with anything, people are afraid of change. They're afraid of the unknown. There aren't a lot of examples. There aren't a lot of necessarily rules and, you know, good mentors to talk about this new way of teaching. It's kind of evolving on the fly, just like technology is evolving on the fly. But I do see a lot of success. The teachers who've adopted it, they say their students, you know, are just so much more engaged and learning so much more than they were learning in the more rote manner that was being, you know, practiced before.
Mm-hmm. So, shifting gears a little bit, what have you discovered about the consumption and study habits by teaching exclusively in this self-driven online course?
Well, you know, in our situation, we are not giving degrees, and so we're really just a, you know, come to us if you need to learn something that your, you know, your boss is asking you to do, or you want to learn something that you yourself have always wanted to do. And so we have incredibly self-motivated learners, and we're just absolutely amazed at their enthusiasm and passion and drive. The number one request that we hear at lynda.com is, when are you going to offer a course in X, Y, or Z? There's sort of never enough, which is really encouraging and exciting that there's this insatiable curiosity, insatiable demand to want to learn new things. And I find that, you know, just very hopeful in terms of the world at large, that we do have people who love to learn and want to learn. And so we're finding that we're pretty amazed at their passion and enthusiasm around it.
Mm-hmm. That seems like the best kind of student to have, the ones that are passionate.
Oh, yes. If you ever, you know, meet a teacher who has kids that have to, or, you know, not even kids, even young adults who have to take a prerequisite and they're in there just because they have to, that is the most mind-numbing.
All right. Well, Lynda from lynda.com, it was amazing meeting you. And thank you so much for your time today. Is there anything else you want to add?
I just thank you so much. This is a really important topic. I think, you know, this idea of blended learning is really the approach. I don't think lynda.com is the 100% solution. I don't think, you know, in-person education is 100% of the solution. And so I think times have changed. We need to leverage technology in a positive way. And it's not one pitted against the other. It's actually a really nice marriage.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can find more EDUCAUSE podcasts by visiting our podcast page at www.educause.edu/podcasts or search for EDUCAUSE on iTunes. EDUCAUSE podcasts are now available to listen to straight from your mobile device. Just visit www.educause.edu/mobile. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening.